Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Have you tried changing your health year on year, resolving that this year things are going to be different, but nothing seems to change? Oftentimes, when things are not changing, we're following many wellness myths and not looking at the full picture, including our nutrition, recovery, stress management, leaving out mind-body connection. I want to introduce you to Wellness Redefined, a new podcast from Rufilion Media that's here to dispel all your myths about wellness and fitness while sharing stories of how we redefine what it means to be healthy. On each episode, we'll be talking to experts from all walks of life who will share their own unique wellness journey and offer their perspective. I am your host, Tamika Rochester, founder and CEO of Harlem Cycle, a premier wellness space in New York City with a focus on indoor cycling. I've been an advocate for wellness since as early as I can remember. So if this sounds like something that could help change your life, go ahead and pause the show you're listening to and subscribe to Wellness Redefined on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I remember like when I was a kid, we'd go on vacations and my parents, my dad had like a little AE-1 camera, which is like a little film camera from Canon. I don't ever remember like being introduced to it. It was just like he had it, and so I would just steal it during vacations and go take pictures of random stuff.
Between the Reps with Brooke Entz and Gina Chancharulo is a CastBox original, produced alongside Studio 71.
CastBox is the fastest growing and highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts.
You can listen to Between the Reps wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, welcome back to Between the Reps with Brooke and Gina.
And no surprise here, we're not really sure what we want to talk about. Except for we are going to have a guest on this episode. His name is Eric. He's a photographer. He's taking photos of me right now. That's why Gina was talking about my paparazzi.
She just has him falling around every day. It's a lifestyle.
It's for those days when you feel kind of shitty about yourself. You know, you're like, can you just come around and capture all the shitty moments?
So I can just really so I can prove back it feel to shittier.
Prove it to people.
Yeah.
It's more so I can have him take lots of bad photos of me. So whenever Gina's having a bad day, I can send her worse photos of me to make her feel better.
I take so many bad photos. You can be like, no, look, I do too. it's like 1 in 100 is a good picture of me.
I definitely keep a few
in the arsenal.
I keep some in my arsenal.
Yeah, you do.
To shoot
there's
to her.
Some good ones.
And she's seen all of them. But when she's having a bad day, there's some good ones that will never see the light of day outside of herself.
Don't piss me off. I'll release them.
She's just like on eBay.
Yeah.
Who wants to see the worst photo of Brooke ever? Me.
Said no one ever.
All right. Wait a minute. Okay. Oh, it's Monday. It's actually Monday. Went to breakfast with Eric this morning.
Eric who?
Eric, how do you say your last name?
Greenhall.
Why? I feel like I have it in my phone.
It's spelled differently, but it's
that's
just,
why.
It's okay. Just like you walk down
a green hall.
Yeah, green hall.
But now I want to look and see how it's spelled. You guys are like, wow.
The G-H is silent.
Yeah, that's why. Green hall. H-A-L-G-H.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
How do people
say green hog?
Yeah. Do people say that a lot?
That's a common one. And then the weirdest one ever, though, and I don't understand, is they say green wall.
Green
and
wall?
Like, where do you get the W from?
Yeah. Did you just say idiot right after? Idiot?
Yeah, I mean, my last name is four letters, and it surprises me how many people mess it up.
Really?
Yes.
The what worst, do they call it?
NC.
Oh, okay.
That's probably the only, like, the real Eats? Way. Eins? Eins?
Feins? Dry fair.
No, but the worst is when I'm on the phone with someone, like, buying airfare or something, and they say my last name, right? Like, what's your name? Oh, Brooke, what's your last name? Ents? They're like, I'm like, well, I start spelling it. And then it's always, they always mess it up, and I spell it out, and then they get the letters still really confused.
All of those letters.
Four
huh?
letters. Yeah. And that's I have really one. Tried to work on my pronunciation two of my letters, because even then they still fuck up the N and the C.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Idiots. How about yours, though?
Well, Chancharulo.
Or Scarborough.
Or Scarborough, yeah. I got screwed either way. So.
Or no your one first ever. Name.
My first name. No
my one's, what's your name? Gina. And they're like, oh, G-I, no, sorry. J-E-A.
Yeah, I just spell everything. And I've learned, like, on the phone that I have to go, like, C is in cat.
Yeah.
I-A-N is in Nancy. Because they always screw it up. So, yeah. There's that. What's funny is Nico, when my ex got my name tattooed across his belly.
That's
it's
real story.
J-E-A-N-N-A. And people literally were like, I can't believe he has his exes. They thought it was, like, his ex. Because they didn't put it together that it was my name on his stomach. Just when they would meet us at
Tell
first.
That story really quick.
Which one?
When he came home with that.
Oh, man. Well, so it was our first anniversary, and it was really funny because he was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go do something. I'll come right back. And I think I was with the kids. I think I was with the kids at the pool. And because we had, like, a his and my situation. So we had, like, three kids, like, swimming around. And he literally, like, goes, because everyone's probably like, huh, it's first year anniversary, three kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
His, hers, and ours.
Yes, we had kids when we came into it. But he showed up at the pool, and he had this big bandage on his stomach, and he takes it off, and it's like, Gina, in, like, big, giant letters. Like,
and it literally goes up
over his belly button, like, across his whole stomach, and I was like, whoa! Like, what the hell? Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, it's like, I guess I need to go get a tattoo. So I got a tiny little one on the inside of my ankle, and he used to always be like, oh, cool. You could cover that up easily. And then he would joke. He'd be like, yeah, if we ever got divorced, I'll just put sucks underneath it. And now we're divorced.
Yeah, they're divorced, and he didn't get sucks.
He just got it removed.
But I do want to dress up as him for Halloween.
Oh my God, and get it.
Yeah.
Just a bald cap, and then
before me and Gina became best friends, me and Nico were best friends. We're still good friends, but.
Yeah, we're all good friends. I stole you.
Yeah, he led me to my bestest. But I want to dress up like him for Halloween, and I want to, like, get a bald cap. And then draw Gina across my belly.
What are you gonna wear on your boobs?
He has another tattoo up here, doesn't he?
Yeah, but are you gonna wear a bra? What, you're gonna wear, like, a wife beater?
Yeah, probably
wear,
like,
a wife beater, like, half, like, cut off.
Probably a wife beater, and I'll just, like, constantly be in, like, pull my gut out. And then Vans.
Yep.
You know, and some Levi's. Swim trunks.
Yeah,
or Levi's.
Trunks, yes. Yep. That's his whole.
Or flip flops and Levi's that are a little long and frayed.
I hope he's listening to this. He doesn't
he's
listen to us.
Definitely not.
Does not listen to us.
Anyways, I was talking about going to breakfast with Eric.
Okay.
I want to know if this has ever happened to you. And then, listeners, you can think about if this has happened to you. All of a sudden, it's silent in there, and there's someone on the ground that's, like, passed out or fallen or something crazy.
Yeah.
First, I'm thinking it's someone who's at the restaurant, but then I noticed that they were behind the counter. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sat there forever. They're, like, asking people to, like, find her purse to see if she has any medication in her purse. And so they're taking these big pill bottles over, and I'm thinking this woman's got to be old. She was like,
I just assumed she was old.
Well, because like, oh, I know. Yeah, yeah. One, okay, maybe they fell.
Right.
Old.
I just fell.
I know.
Old.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Old. You
know, yeah. Fall. Old.
Giant yeah. bottles of pills. So I'm thinking like maybe epilepsy, maybe something sure. crazy. And then me and Eric are oh. sitting there and we're kind of waiting and waiting and waiting. Sorry, guys. People are doing yard work, which is totally fine.
The lawnmower.
Finally, they get her standing. Happy he's employed. They get her standing and she's like, probably like maybe 18, 17, like a young
she's
girl.
A baby.
Little redhead and like she still looked like she was definitely just like out of it. But you like, we need more doctors around all the time.
Can I get a doctor in the house?
But yeah, have you ever been anywhere when someone's like gone down?
No, I
and
haven't.
Everyone's like, no one knows what to do. I mean,
that's not true. One time I was in church and I think they like drug a lady out and she was like moaning and yelling. And
oh, they were trying
my
to
kids
get the
thought
spirit
she was
out of
being
her?
Weird and so they started laughing and I had to tell them, like, stop laughing. It's like someone's hurt, you know? But no, I've never had that happen. We have a friend though who's a doctor
yeah, Jordan,
who's been on two flights.
Same trip.
Same trip. Two flights, had to assist someone and got free flights yeah. for both of them. I mean, at least all that money you're putting into your PhD is going somewhere.
Okay, this
free
is crazy. This is a crazy story. So, do you remember when I went and did that trip to, where did I go in Mexico? I went to,
in Mexico?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I don't remember what it's called. Oh, I went to Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, yeah, that was a tough one.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Puerto Vallarta. One of the most popular destinations.
Well, yeah, okay. Like Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah, okay.
Anyways, I went to Puerto Vallarta and I went for like the little fitness retreat that I did.
Okay.
A few years ago. I took Sam with me, Sam Dancer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys like and did we the beach workouts.
Yeah, we went and did like beach workouts and went and did a bunch of stuff. Well, we went and did a little day trip. This like very like a beachy town where a lot of people go. Well, uh-huh. Also, it takes forever to get there. There's no close by hospitals or close by medical places.
Right.
And we're out on the beach and we're walking around and we're walking around, you know, swimming and stuff. And I remember I was standing next to.
Sorry,
the lawnmower.
The lawnmower's kicking in the high gear as you're
oh,
telling
shit.
Your story.
Okay. Sorry, guys. This is just
Talk
the way
louder.
This is just the
Talk
way it
louder.
Has to be right now. Yeah. We're really sorry about this podcast and the lawnmower, but this is it. This is us. This is it. Anyways.
Anyway.
Looking in the water. And all of a sudden, and Sam saw this the same time I did. I noticed this guy who's out there like swimming. And I'm like, oh, it must be like a snorkeling. Because he's on his belly. Like feet like
just face
like
down.
Face
floating.
Down. And I'm so for a minute, because his arms are by his side too.
Yeah.
He's got water shoes on. And so I watch him for a minute, like to see like, he's gonna like paddle. Or
yeah, some
breathe.
Movement. Yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm also looking. I'm like, you don't have a snorkel on. Your face has been in the water for a really long time.
That's
and
scary.
So Sam's next to me, and like, I see it, and like he sees it like right after me, and we just bolt out into the water. We get out to this guy. We roll him over. It was like the grossest thing I really. It was very. It's so super bloated belly.
He's
like
already dead.
Gray. Okay, we're like convinced
okay, no. Sorry, I'm skipping ahead to the story.
Convinced that he's dead. Heavy, heavy guy. So we all grab him. Me and Sam and couple of the other guys that were there with us for the fitness retreat come out and grab him. We drag him into the beach and roll him on his side. And the beach is kind of at a slant, so we're trying to like get water out of him.
Yeah.
Basically, this guy. We sat and tried to get. We got him to like call. Like throw up water.
Oh, okay.
Still like super unresponsive.
Yeah.
And just gray. Like his whole body. Super gray. We end up getting him onto a trying to do CPR, get him onto a gurney, take him up into the shade. And they're still just trying to work with him and trying to get him to have like be responsive.
Mm-hmm.
And They told us like it could be hours before an ambulance could get there.
Oh my God.
Because one, there wasn't anything close by. Two, they weren't exactly apparently, like, this beach is definitely a destination where people go on vacation and they drink a lot and they get in the water.
Okay.
And, like, because of that, it's almost like there are problems a lot, and, like, and they just, they have no rush to, like, get there.
Natural selection.
Yeah!
You're gonna get drunk and go in the water, it's your
fault.
But
also, don't speak Spanish, right?
Right.
Everyone's, me and Sam, like, we don't speak Spanish. Well, somehow, after a while of him being, like, you know, us putting, like, cold water on him and him being in the shade and kind of being responsive but still, like, really, really messed up, we find out that he had epilepsy.
Oh.
There were some of his family members that came down and found him, found out that he was had epilepsy, and he basically had a seizure in the water. But no one was with him.
Where were they?
And no idea.
Horrible.
But yeah, that was like the one of probably one of the craziest That's experiences scary. For me. Like, I literally watched, I'm just watching this guy and I'm like, okay.
That is so scary to
just
me.
Just like watching him, like, is he gonna move or? Cause I would see waves coming and he wouldn't, he would just like.
Just, yeah.
And so I'm like, that's not
right.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and I've done like a CPR class before, but I feel like in that situation, I would forget everything.
Oh yeah, I mean, personally. I didn't do it.
Well, now you're not supposed to put your mouth on them anymore.
No, it's just you do chest compressions to the music, to the song of.
From The Office.
Yeah, it's to the song
Stayin'
of.
Alive.
Staying Alive.
Yeah.
Staying Alive.
That's how I know.
That's one of the best episodes ever.
Yeah, I know.
It's funny though, when I took the course, they taught that same thing.
Huh.
Yeah.
I took the course with my brother-in-law, Matt.
Yeah.
And you know, he doesn't enunciate very well.
Yes.
And they would make us run through like drills, and they had him, like, you know, he had to like go up and like act like, are you okay?
Oh.
And like, and like do this like run through.
Yeah.
And he named him, and that was the funniest thing to us. He was like, I can't remember the name that he gave, but it was like, he like went up, he's like, are you okay, Bob? And all of us were like, Bob, did you just name him? Like, that wasn't even part of the thing. Like, you just totally improvised. Nice work. But yeah, it was really funny. Couldn't stop making fun of him.
I bet.
Yeah. Bob, I hope you're okay, Bob. Bob, we're
like
gonna...
no inflection.
Yeah, like just no, his mouth's not moving. Bob, we're gonna turn you over. Bob. It's like, oh my God. Just don't talk to him at all.
Oh man.
No one can understand what you're saying. Anyway. Well, that's very scary. So she was okay this morning now?
Yeah, I think they got her up and then she walked. They finally took her into the back of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
And then you guys were out.
Yeah, and Eric even said, he was like, well, better conscious than unconscious. Conscious?
That's true.
Unconscious? Unconscious?
No, unconscious.
Unconscious?
Conscience is the...
Fuck.
I think a conscience is like Jiminy Cricket.
It's your conscience.
Yeah, your conscience.
Unconscious?
Unconscious.
Words are hard.
Words are hard.
Anyways, that was my morning. Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah. It's nice. Eric's in town just for the day. He got in yesterday. And we're going to do some photos and hang out.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to, because you guys are watching this film right now, I'm going to check the battery on the camera, and we'll come back and we're gonna have Eric on. We're gonna ask him a little bit about his photography company and his CrossFit gym in Arizona. So whenever I go to Arizona, I usually will go and train a little bit at his gym when I'm getting my hair done. It's a very cool gym, CrossFit Veer, like deer, but
with
veer.
A V.
Like you're driving, you need to veer left.
Good job.
All right, I'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small,
indoor or outdoor. You can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Dua Lipa.
You know, when I play my music to people who I really respect or look up to, then I hear my songs in a different perspective.
Cardi B.
I know what it feels like when you feel like everybody turned your back and like, don't ever think it's because you did something wrong.
Harry Styles.
I feel like I'm falling more and more in love with making music each time I get to do it.
You know these artists for their songs, videos, and epic performances.
But they have so many stories beyond their fame.
That's what we're here to share with you on the Spout Podcast.
We sit down with some of the biggest names in music.
And along the way, our guests reveal stories that even their biggest fans may have never heard before.
Check out the Spout Podcast to hear famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for.
And find out who's spouting off next.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys.
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Welcome back.
We finally have Eric here. You guys actually probably heard him talking in the background, because when he wasn't on the podcast, I had him taking photos of the podcast. But yeah, so we did the podcast where I turned the camera and talked, and I didn't know that it automatically shuts off at 30 minutes.
Oh, I didn't know that. You just keep going forever. And
yeah, so we probably talked for like 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're checking it, and not only do, so at this point, we didn't even know that it shut off.
Right.
All we knew is we were trying to listen to it, and we were like, huh, wonder why we can't hear it.
There's no
sound.
Yeah. There's no sound. Forgot to turn on the microphone.
You know, but maybe it's just because you can't hear, I need to like plug it into the computer or whatever. And then Mars gets it, and he's like, so, one, there's no sound, two, there's like,
it ran out.
Yeah, it was like 20 minutes. That's it.
That was a challenging day.
We're like,
we're learning.
It was a rough day, and they're like, cool.
Learning curve.
We have to do it again. So we did it again, and then we had to do it again.
Yeah. Lesson learned. Now we have a timer on.
Yes.
At least you have a chance to do it again.
Yes.
Sometimes I've been photographing stuff, and you realize, because a lot of times my cameras will hang on my hip.
Uh-huh.
And like, in moving, it'll like mess a dial up, and I don't even think to check it before, so I'll like pull up my camera, shoot like a whole series of stuff, and then you go back to check it and you realize like it's either super underexposed or super overexposed,
and you're
like,
it.
You're like, oh, well, hopefully you don't need any of that one, because yeah, I messed that up pretty bad. So.
No, I've done that with this camera when we had a different mic on it though, and the mic, you had to turn it on and off.
Oh, yeah.
So this one, you plug it in and it turns on and off when the camera's on and off.
Nice.
So one, it preserves battery.
Yeah.
Which is also why I didn't even think to check the battery
right. Last
time. On the other one though, there were many times where I'd be filming or vlogging, no sound.
Yeah.
Zero sound. And like Tommy's done it too, like where we've been somewhere and Tommy's been filming like Mars do something.
Right.
And then he didn't turn on the sound. You can't use any
right.
of it. But that's what I'm saying, what you gotta start doing is just having someone do some voiceover.
I will say this, at least you didn't video your sister's birth and turn it off instead of on.
Oh no.
That's what I did.
This is amazing footage.
Yeah.
That we
only kid
shooting.
That they've had, the only kid they're ever gonna have, right? They waited like 10 years to have a kid together, and I end up being in the room, and then last minute they're like, oh, will you stay? And I was so excited. I was like, yeah. And they were like, here, will you film it? And I was like, okay. And I turned it on, but they had already turned it on. So I literally turned it off.
So when they went back to watch it, the only part that they got video of
was before
is after. Well, it was like right before, okay. And then right after, and it's just of the ground, and they're like, yay! And I was like, oh my
just
god.
Just the camera, like, around the side.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that, and like, everyone's like around the baby, and I'm like, oh my god, what have I done? What have I done?
Just slowly sneak out.
How mad was she?
She wasn't. Actually, she was pretty cool about it.
She's like, I mean, you know she's what? Probably... Hindsight, who wants to see that anyway?
Yeah. Yeah.
They were actually much nicer to me about it than I thought they would be, but yeah. So it's not that bad.
All right. Moving on. About me and you and our weird tangents.
Yeah. Who cares about
that? Eric Greenhall, photographer, owns Imam Photography and CrossFit Veer. He lives in, Arizona. All of the places are so close to each other. So is it Scottsdale? Gilbert?
So we're actually in Mesa.
Okay.
But Mesa. It's all part of the Phoenix area because we're just, you drive down the road and you have no idea when you go in from one to another.
Like where the lines are.
You really don't. There's not even a sign.
I go there and it's like,
where am I?
Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale, Gilbert. Yeah. Like in all these different areas, I have no idea where I am.
They've all grown together. Mesa. Yeah, technically Mesa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
How long have you been doing photography?
I started photography when I was in high school, so it's probably like 16 years now. And then like CrossFit type stuff or this type of stuff for the last 5. So it's been a pretty crazy ride. But I remember like when I was a kid, we'd go on vacations and my parents, my dad had like a little AE-1 camera, which is like a little film camera from Canon. And I don't ever remember like being introduced to it. It was just like he had it. And so I would just steal it during vacations and go take pictures of random stuff. And it's weird because I never really thought of it as a profession when I was little.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants to be like a football player or whatever. Right. So I had those same type of dreams. But as I kept going into school and I think my junior year in high school, I just needed an extra elective. And a couple of my friends were taking a photo class, so I took it and just kind of fell in love with it and doing it ever since. So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
So now you're like blending the two things that
with
CrossFit and that.
Yeah, it's really weird because 7 years ago, I'd heard of CrossFit. I never even knew what it was.
Right.
And then a good friend of mine invited me down to go CrossFit at his gym. And of course, just like anybody other CrossFit story.
You drank the Kool-Aid.
So my first workout was Helen. And Helen, 3 rounds, 400 meter run, 21 kettlebell swings, 12 pull-ups. And as a guy, you always have this like, oh yeah, I can totally crush this workout, no big deal.
Yeah.
So I go out on the first run and I sprint and I come back in. I'm halfway through the kettlebells and I'm starting to feel weird. I'm like, okay, something's wrong here. And you know, like I'm pretty sure that I used like a scale. Like I'm pretty sure I was using like the girls' kettlebell weight, which is the 35. And I could only do one strict pull-up and they don't teach you how to kip, right? Until you're confident in doing strict. So anyway, I'm using a green band on the pull-ups. I'm using a little kettlebell. I go out for my second run and I'm like halfway through and I'm like, oh no, this is not good. So for like 10 straight minutes, I was next to a bush puking my guts out. Like everything that was in my stomach. They sent someone to come find me. They didn't know what happened
like,
to me.
It's the new guy. Yeah, like, what's happening?
Well, and I've been out there forever. Yeah. Like I wasn't coming back. Like people that walk go faster than what I was doing.
They're probably being like, even if you would have walked.
Yeah.
Did he run to his car? And
so they came out, found me. I'm like still next to this bush, like puking my guts out. And they're like, oh yeah, well let's just make it back in. You can just stop.
Oh my god.
So I finished the workout really, really slow, like 20 something minutes.
Yeah.
For a workout that should take.
Hey, at least you finished it.
Yeah. And
I
feel like there's two different types of people in that situation. There's a type of person who's like, that's not for me. I'm not into throwing up or whatever else.
Right.
But I was the other type of person who was like, why am I throwing up? I've been going to the gym forever. Like, something about this. So, yeah. 7 years later, and now I own a CrossFit gym, and it's just the way it
is.
It's
crazy how...
It's super fun.
I love it. It's like
work.
One round in, I come in, and I start noticing, like, something's changed.
Yeah.
I don't feel
something's changing. Not quite sure what it is yet, but I imagine in another 5 minutes I'm gonna know what it is. I've never
puked after a workout.
Yeah,
I've definitely felt nauseous. Yeah. But I've never actually puked,
but I know people that like almost every time. Miranda Oldroyd. She's a puker.
Yeah.
She is a puker. Yeah.
I think it's
the demons out.
So like I hate throwing up more than anything else in the world. If someone was like, you could cut off a finger and never throw up the rest of your life, I'd be like, which one and with what instrument? Like a hammer or something and chisel. I don't even care. So I think like I definitely don't push myself to the point where I'm gonna throw up because I hate it so bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the only time I've ever thrown up in a CrossFit workout. But
yeah, or like Matt Fraser pukes before every competition.
Really?
Yeah.
Like before you even start?
Oh, nervous. Nervous?
No, you can't. I can't do
it's
that.
It's him. No. Like it's not like he wants to. It's like a
his body just says, yeah, get just rid does of it.
Yeah.
It knows right. what it's gonna do.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't even drink pre workout. Like, I'm just gonna throw it up anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So what were you doing for work before you, I guess, were you getting like more professionally, or like working as a photographer before you opened CrossFit Gear?
Yeah,
so what were you doing before?
I graduated high school and I started going to college for photography, and it was just like weddings and families and portraits, stuff like that. So really I shot weddings exclusively for almost 10 years. And then when I started getting into CrossFit, I also kind of, not got burnt out, but it was just harder for me to like really get excited about weddings anymore, because mm-hmm. it just becomes so repetitive over and over again. Like people would come to me with like some crazy idea about going to some destination, and that would excite me more than anything, because it's like totally new place, whatever else. But like the venues like right around town, you're just like, I've been there so many times, shot so many different people. It's just like, how do you stay creative with that? So when CrossFit came around, it was like really fun to kind of like explore new things. And then I kind of slowly just worked myself away from the wedding side of it, and then just really started working with the athletes and the companies that sponsor the athletes. So that's kind of where my story as far as that's concerned is. But I've always been a professional photographer as far as like how I make my living.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Yeah.
What would you say is the hardest thing, or maybe was the hardest thing, learning how to shoot athletes?
The biggest thing for me is understanding like what their goals are for like what we're photographing, and it kind of depends. Sometimes you're shooting for a company that's having an athlete shot, and sometimes you're shooting for the athlete because they're trying to promote themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really just based on like what our goal is, like what we're trying to accomplish with that, whether it's showing off a product or just showing off them or in a product. So the hardest thing I think for me is understanding like the end game for each person, mm-hmm. and then trying to fulfill like their vision, right? Because sometimes if I get all the control, then it's easy for me to create like what I want to create. If it's like you're trying to work within a scope of what they're looking for, mm-hmm. then you're trying to make sure that you show their vision, not just like what you imagine it is. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's probably the hardest thing for me.
How about lighting for mm-hmm. athletes?
That's same kind of thing. Like obviously I like to shoot as much natural as possible. Like I can shoot studio. I've done that plenty of times before, but I think the hard part with studio lighting is you're very limited to like that individual shot at a time. Whereas like with athletes, everything's got to be like, look like it's in motion. Like you want to create a as natural as possible mm-hmm. type thing. So that's the hardest, generally speaking, because most CrossFit gyms, especially when we shoot CrossFit, they're just like dark caves.
Yeah,
of,
yeah. And like yeah. terrible
really
lighting.
Awesome. Right, like yeah. ours has like all that fluorescent
terrible lighting.
Terrible
right, exactly.
I mean, I just
so
look
all
like
it's,
the crypt keeper.
Exactly.
Yeah. Takes a picture of me in there.
So, and that's hard because it's all yeah. down lighting. You don't have yeah. anything else coming right. in. So shadows always come this way. And if you're making it super moody, that's what you want. Like
sure.
if you want something really harsh, then like, yeah, because like abs and everything pop right. that way. But nothing
the old
else.
Faces
yeah,
no, everything else
you don't
terrible. Yeah,
nothing
all
else
everything
looks
to pop
good.
In your old face.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Everything else looks
neck,
terrible.
Neck down is fine.
Yeah.
Almost every time I've had a photo shoot and they like plan like for it's a sponsor or whatever, they plan to go to our gym, I'm always like, it's terrible.
No, one
yeah.
no.
Yeah, I even try to like figure out ways to like get people out of the gym as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we have to bring a bunch of gear and like make it seem like nobody actually trains here, but it still lends for better photography because natural light is so much better than anything
right.
else you can do. And they can move without having to worry about like stopping for each individual shot. They
well,
can just
that's happened to her
out.
Before. I remember there's been a time when someone will like have someone come in photograph you,
mm-hmm.
but they're not, it's not what they normally do. Like
they've
right. normally done weddings or something. They haven't done somebody like an athlete, like in motion.
Exactly.
And they were having her like pose.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of, like you were saying, like catching someone during the movement.
Right.
And she's like coaching them. Like, no, I can't do it like this.
Right.
Like, you're not going to get the shot like this.
Yeah, I literally, yeah. like there's been times for different sponsors where it's like, they
just kind
come,
of don't know what they're doing.
And I'm like so irritated. So like I've literally had to like take full control over
yeah.
over the shoot.
and then ends up being fine.
Yeah.
But it's like, there are photographers in sport that I'm like, you don't know how to shoot an athletic body. Right. Like, you need to figure that out. Because you can't shoot it the same.
Yeah.
Especially women.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because, like, even, like, with Mars or the guys from, like, CrossFit HQ, well, none of them are from CrossFit HQ anymore, but they used to be. I would get irritated at them being like, stop shooting girls like that. Like, we're already giant humans. Right. Like, you don't need to shoot me from a down, like a low to high angle. Like, don't make me look bigger than I already am.
Right.
You know, or it's like, they'll do the super moody lighting.
Yeah.
Like mood lighting. And it's like, you've got this, they're trying to like make your whole body pop. But I'm like, but you then take away any attractiveness in the face.
You take all my femininity, and then
you have my body that already is pretty hard, and now you make my face look even sharper and harder, and it's like I get like what you're trying to do, but there has to be like, you have to still
have a balance.
And that's where it comes down to like making sure that it's your vision and not, you know, like, because I can think of a million crazy things to do and make it as harsh and crazy as possible.
Right.
But it's like, what's our end game? What's our goal? What are we trying to accomplish? So.
Yeah, and it's definitely. I think it's, I mean, I'm not a photographer, but I've been around photographers and videographers for so long. I think it's a matter too of like having to remind yourself to look at the big picture.
Right.
Versus looking at something.
Right.
You know, it's like, if, you know, you could look at like the details, but unless you like actually look at like the whole thing, like you might get so drawn into like the details of seeing the lines here and the depth here. But if you don't look at how the whole thing looks, it's like you could literally make this person look like garbage with great abs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, look at this garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if all you were trying to do was show off like abs, obviously you could easily do that where it's like zoomed in on that part as opposed to like that as a whole. But yeah, it's totally, it's a process for sure. And you get better at it the more you do it, for sure.
So. Or if, like, for me, I photograph better in natural light.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is because we were talking about this the other day of the YouTube video. I have like really prominent features. Like I have like really high cheekbones but I have really small eyes, and like there's air, like the way that my face, like I'll see it sometimes. Like when I see like video or photos of me too, like, yeah, I get Botox. No, I don't get a lot of Botox, and I still have a lot of movement in my face, but people, and I can see it sometimes, they're legitimately think that I've had plastic surgery done. And I'm like, no. And they think that I've had my cheeks like done. And I'm like, no.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I was talking to my friend Kevin, we were on a bike ride, and I was talking to him about this YouTube video.
Yeah, and I think it's what he said. It's really funny.
So the YouTube video comes out, it's the one I did for Brute Strength, the Brute Showdown. And I remember I was watching they have the first episode, like Meet the Girls. And yeah, no, I don't look great all the time. Like currently I've got a rash on my forehead. It's really obnoxious. You know, I'm like, don't do my makeup all the time. Like that's normal. Right. But we had to do these interviews, and it was after we had trained all day.
Yeah.
And we're in Louisiana, we're just sweating.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, we're gonna go here and do the interviews. And I was like, I have it. I'm like, can I do mine tomorrow? Like tomorrow morning? I didn't have any of my stuff with me.
Right.
And they're like, no, we gotta do it today. And I'm like, oh my God. So my hair is like in a ponytail. I've been sweating and training. I have none of my stuff with me, like no makeup. And I'm like, well, I mean, I guess like this is my reality. So this is it.
Right.
So we go, all of the girls had all their makeup in their bags.
So everyone else is all done up.
Oh yeah. Like all of them have all their makeup in their bags. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Well, we get to my interview, and I remember I'm watching my interview, and I don't know who like set up the lighting in like the studio. All the girls, I feel like I watched interviews, and they all had like makeup on though, and like looked pretty good. For me, it was like so bright.
Yeah.
And I'm so fair and blonde, just and I have no makeup on. Right. But it literally just like flattens me out.
Yeah.
And just makes me look weird as fuck. And so it's like, I'm watching this, and I was like, oh, as soon as like my interview comes on, I'm like, here we go.
Wait for it.
I was like, wait, put my armor on.
Oh, I know.
But like 100%. So I'm riding my bike with Kevin, and I had started watching that, and I didn't want to read any comments. So like the next week, episode 2 came out.
Yeah.
Episode 2 is like we finally start working out.
Right.
And I've been getting tagged and all this stuff because I won the deadlift, but then I didn't win because they went off of a Wilkes scale. So they took your body weight into account, okay. But they didn't even have us stand on a scale. So Maddie Forberg is the power lifter that was there.
Sure.
Yeah, I think they probably just went off of like her competition weight.
Right.
A lot of people were not very happy about that because I pulled more weight than anyone.
Sure.
No, you killed it. 397. Right? 379. 379. That backwards.
379.
Whoa. Really good. That was really good. 379.
But yeah, so like I'm reading this and I was like, you know, I'll read some of the comments. And like YouTube, I really try to not read comments in general because
sure.
there's
so many
lots
crazy
of crappy
people
ones. But there was a lot of pretty good ones. And so I let myself read the comments on the first episode and it was gnarly.
Horrible.
Did you go and read them?
I did after you said that.
It was gnarly.
Awful.
Okay, there was like not one.
Awful.
There was not one good one. Oh. All the guys were like, I'm going to go and read the comments.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to, but then you were upset, and so I was like,
I was having a really, it really put me into
I need to
rough.
See what the hell. And when I read it, I was like, I don't know how anybody could read it and not be that upset. It was awful. People are awful. And all I kept thinking is, just wait till episode 2.
Yeah, I mean, if they weren't attacking my appearance,
they were attacking your ability. Or
they
were
legitimately
attacking, it was
like,
bad.
It was one attacking my appearance, talking about how much plastic surgery I've had. Oh, here we go. All the steroids I'm on. I'm like, go fuck yourself. I'm injured.
Yeah.
One, right. I'm competing against people that I would say they're not using anything, but they're in sports where you would definitely think that like that's where you would like that's what you would question.
Sure.
I'm like, how are you all still questioning me?
Right.
Yeah. It was
so it was
awful.
Like attacking my appearance. Okay, that felt pretty shitty. Told me I looked like I was 40 years old.
that's younger than me.
still younger than me.
Yeah. I'd be stoked if somebody said
she's like, wait a minute,
40 years old.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, I mean, you don't want to be not
but
even
then,
30.
But then
yeah,
they
yeah,
were
yeah.
like, there were so many people that were like, I was the worst representation of CrossFit.
Yeah, it was bad.
I was like, why would they chose me to come do this show?
Like you weren't relevant.
Oh, because I'm not relevant. Oh, I'm probably only doing it because my husband's doing the video, and Mars was helping video, but he didn't edit it. He didn't do any of that shit.
Right.
And like I was going regardless. He came because I was going because they were asked him to come for a little extra help.
Right.
So there.
we can't address
like,
every
for sure
like
so many
it was awful
like, yeah so many
they
things
were
like I was worse representation
yeah
why would you have someone come who was injured like just all this shit like how I was like gonna do terrible
yeah
and
yeah.
At this point I'm reading these and I'm like
because this is just the interview so far
yeah
you haven't even like done anything
yes this
yet.
Is the interview yeah
this
and
is
so
just
like but I
just
didn't
like
introduce
yeah.
them
yeah here's our athletes
yeah
here's
yeah
what they,
yeah
oh,
and then it was
okay.
like boom
so nothing's even
grenade,
happened
grenade
oh, just
that's the
fucking
word.
Gnarly one
I mean yeah. It was awesome because she ends up just killing it
crushing it
yeah. Yeah and so it's like I'm
but
reading
it
and it's like really it's like really upsetting it's like one of those things where it's I can't believe what you're saying but I still have to read I'm still reading it and I'm still having to reassure myself that you don't know what you're talking about. And that I'm not 40, 29. You know? And so it's like, I was just really upset. And I told, yeah. I think I had talked to someone about it where I had told you too, like after reading stuff like that, even though I know that they're not true and I know that they're just trolls and I know that that's like, you know, the amount of good like totally outweighs the bad and usually on some, you know, videos or things, like, people that don't have anything bad to say, they're not gonna, we don't necessarily comment.
Right.
Right? Like,
you
it's
don't,
like,
you, don't
you see
go
things
yeah.
and you love it, but we don't, like, even to me, like, you may not like it, or you may not comment on it, but that doesn't mean you don't love it, or you don't like it.
Right.
It's like, there are shitty people that are like, I need to tell you all the stuff I don't like. Right. Like, I know that that's the situation, but then I'll go throughout my day, and I legitimately will see myself differently in the mirror.
Well, yeah.
Or like,
shitty.
And I feel a whole lot different.
Yeah.
So anyways, full circle, I'm on a bike ride with my friend Kevin, and I've had a bad day, and I had talked to you, and I was like, going on this bike ride to feel better.
Yeah.
Which worked, by the way. And
I
started talking to him about it, and telling him like what they were saying or whatever, and his response, he's an interesting dude. Funny.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Well, I'm not trying to say that the haters were right. And I go,
but like, with a pause.
Yeah,
like,
and
are you trying to make me feel better?
Yeah.
I'm on my bike and I'm like,
it's a pep talk.
Yeah, like, it's the butt yeah. comment.
And I go,
right?
I'm like ready.
Yeah.
I'm like ready for whatever he's gonna say. And I go, okay. And he pauses and he's like, well, now I'll just say it since I already started. And I was like, yeah,
please,
say it.
Spit
like,
it out.
Spit it out. And he said, definitely in some video and photos, you look way different than you actually look in real life.
Yeah.
And my response was, I know.
Right.
Like, yeah. I 100% know.
No, I think you said when you told me the story, you were like, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I did.
He said. Yeah.
And he was just saying, he's like, you need to be photographed in natural light. Like, and I'm like, I know. Like, I have features that are very, like,
yeah.
prominent. And you light me poorly, and it will legitimately
just look harsh.
It changes like the heart. Whole entire thing. And that's sometimes working with people longer. Like if you get more than one opportunity, it's nice because you learn what works, what doesn't, and then and then what they like too. So that always makes a big deal too. Like working with people for more than just like one time ever.
I suppose, I mean, this actually. I was just thinking about this just now. But lighting for video versus lighting for photo.
Oh, yeah. Totally different.
Because I didn't even think about that, right? Yeah. So, like, this interview that I was talking about, they also took photos that day.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all the same.
And Mars took the photos, and the photos look great.
Right.
And I look fine. Yeah. And you can, like, see the depth, they're great photos.
Right.
But the video, I look bad. Like, I look super flat, plus I didn't have any makeup on.
Right.
Washed out, kind of gross if you ask me. I just couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything about it. And in the moment I thought to myself,
wow,
well, this is my reality. I can't change it. This is what I look like.
And then, as soon
as I watched the video, I was like, oh, should have changed it.
Yeah.
Nah.
But I think everyone goes through that. Like, it's perspective. Like, you know, you've met a lot of the people that come to my gym and things like that, and constantly when they talk about us working together, they're always like, can she even take a bad photo?
I know.
You know, so like, you know what I mean? Right. From like an outside perspective, there's so many people that would see it as the opposite way. Like they judge themselves differently too. And then they see like other people that they see all the time. And they're always like, there's just no way for you to take a bad photograph. And I'm sitting
actually, I'm just a really great photographer.
You're listen, there's a lot of
When we go through the editing, it's like, oh yeah, that's not good.
Right, like you definitely see the bad ones.
But, you know, that's with every single thing. I mean, there's not a photo shoot out there in the million years that they do not have so many dang files that they just throw in the trash.
Right.
Because whether it's how you looked that day, whatever it is, they're just like, this isn't a best representation of what we're going for anyway.
Yeah, sure.
So it happens on everyone, but yeah, so like, from their perspective, you can't take a bad photograph. So, you know, a positive thing. Like,
Let that on a positive note.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I believe the importance of someone who, like, I'm now going to have to start figuring out the best, like, some little tips and tricks or things that I could tell a photographer, like, hey, you know, I look better in this light, or we should do it here or not do it here.
Yeah.
And because keep your makeup bag on you.
Yeah.
Always keep my makeup bag on me.
The emergency.
But the importance of, one, if you're going to be photographed a lot, like, have a good idea of, like, what helps you look like yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying look the best. I'm saying look like yourself. Like, I'm just trying to look normal.
I just want to look like myself.
Yeah, right. I don't want to look like a real person that doesn't have, you know,
I'm a real boy.
And then also to be able to, like, communicate that to the photographer.
Right. Yeah. Because that's the biggest thing. Talking to each other about what the vision is and then working on it till you get it right, so for sure.
And finding the right one, I guess, would be...
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to be able to do it. So.
For sure.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think was your most difficult shoot you've had? Maybe not necessarily difficult...
Like in
person?
Yeah.
Or did just difficult...
Maybe you were like, maybe the lighting was really tough to work with.
I'm
telling you, I'm
really fixated on the lighting.
Well,
like,
no,
what about the lighting?
Yeah. I'm trying to be more of a technical question.
No, like, in the CrossFit space, it's literally like every single time that someone says, hey, can we shoot in the gym or can we shoot in a gym or whatever?
Right.
99% of the time, the gyms are just very poorly lit. It's just not, they're not made to be that way. A lot of them are in commercial spaces, so I understand. So we try to do, like, as many things as possible to help it. Like if they've got a big roll-up door, that thing's coming up all the way to the top, so we can get as much like light pulling in from there. You can also do like crazy things with it. You can backlight it from that. So there's a lot of different things where like that becomes just like in your tool bag. Now you've done it enough to realize like, this is not gonna work, this is gonna work. How do we best use that space so that they look the best, and so that way we can accomplish what we can accomplish. Like sometimes, even with pulling in that light in, like you can light them, but the rest of the thing is still look like a cave. And it's like, do we care about that?
Right.
Do we need to show the gym in the background? If not, then just let it go away. Like let it turn black if we need to. So there's just a lot of challenges there for that. But as far as like the most difficult shoot ever, it wasn't so much like the technicality of it, it was like getting there. Okay. So this was back when I was shooting weddings, and I actually got hired to go shoot a wedding in Italy. And I don't know if you remember, but there was that time where the volcano in like Iceland or someplace like that erupted, and it sent so much ash in the air that they grounded all flights like everywhere. You could not fly from the US to Europe or anywhere. So the crazy thing was when it erupted, it was like a week and a half before their wedding was supposed to go off.
Oh my God.
And so me and like all the rest of the family weren't getting in there until like 3 days before the wedding, whereas they had gone a week early and then they were staying a week after for like a honeymoon type thing.
Like all their guests?
So they were there 3 days before they shut all the airports down. Nobody else was. None of their family, I wasn't, nobody could get on a flight. And so for three straight days, I was trying to call and be like, hey, are there any flights going? No. And I'm talking about like 3 or 4 hours on the phone just waiting on hold until someone would tell you that you couldn't go.
Yeah.
So I remember it was a Saturday night, no, Sunday, and I was about ready to go to bed. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to call one last time randomly. So I call the number and it immediately picks up, which is weird because I've been holding for like 3 or something hours. And the lady's like, hey, what can I do for you? I told her my flight number, where I needed to go, that I really needed to get there. And she's like, actually, I have one seat available tomorrow morning. It leaves at like 5:45.
Oh my God.
So it's like 11:30 at night. I haven't packed. I mean, everything is just like not ready to go. And so I get on a flight the next morning. I was the only, like me and his parents were the only people in their entire wedding that actually showed up.
No.
What? Nobody else made it.
No.
Not one person.
Oh.
So it was like a crazy like 3 day period of, she would call me and just bawling her eyes out. She's like, we can't get any of our family here. You can't be here. She's like, I don't even have someone who can do this so that I can like show my family that we got married.
Right.
So they had it all planned out. It ended up being like a really, really cool trip. That's a story for another day.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was probably the most difficulty I've ever had trying to get to a shoot to even do it.
That is crazy.
For sure, but yeah, that was crazy.
Is there a place or maybe a company or
maybe a person?
A person that like is like a goal thing that you'd want to shoot, like whether it's like a, you know, doing a type of photography or shooting a specific event.
I mean, as a CrossFit photographer, like you obviously want to go to the games eventually. And you know, what's interesting about this whole changeover is that I think there's, I mean, I hate that everyone lost their job because some of these guys are my friends and I know them and I love their work. So it's not even like they were doing a bad job.
Right.
But it definitely allows some of us who kind of been on the outside to have a little more opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been actually interesting how much more we've been able to do even in this last couple months. Now that it's not being controlled, so to speak,
with HQ. Right.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I would love to go shoot the games eventually, but the biggest thing for me, right now is I just really like working with the people. Like probably my favorite thing in being a photographer and then also owning the gym is like the human interaction. Like that's my favorite part really. So I can't really say there's anyone in particular that I like want to go shoot, but literally, I would be excited to shoot anybody who's part of this space. Like, CrossFit for me has been such an amazing opportunity to kind of grow as a person, even just with the community side of it and how it affects other people's lives. And I love every time there's like a story that's produced where someone, their whole life has been changed either through CrossFit or some association with it. So to me, it's just every time I meet a new person, whether it's a high level athlete or some random guy from a gym, like what you can learn from people is just like the most fun for me when it comes to doing this type of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Last but not least, what is your, like for all like the more camera nerds out there?
Yeah.
What's your favorite like rig setup?
I mean, I'm a Canon photographer, always have been. So it's kind of one of those things, like once you stick with something, you just do it. Mm-hmm. So I have a 1DX Mark III because it gives you the best range of everything. It's their biggest camera. It's the most expensive, but it gives you the biggest range because you can use it as a portrait camera. But it's also psycho speed for all this type of stuff where we have to shoot action. So that's probably my favorite go-to. And then I love being able to kind of isolate people down. In fact, a lot of times when I go to win jobs, like the biggest comment I get is how intimate I can make the photo look. So my 70-200 2.8 as far as the lens is probably my go-to because it gives me a little bit of flexibility to pull out. But it really allows me to kind of like zoom into like what I'm focused on. Mm-hmm. So that's probably my best kit.
So is that a lot of like, you're talking about like depth of field?
Yeah, it's not, I mean, it is. So on a full frame camera, it's its own like zoom. Like mm-hmm. 70 to 200 is its thing. There's no crop factor. So it does allow you to kind of like isolate that person or the object mm-hmm. away from the background.
Yeah.
So you do, you get the bokeh effect where it's basically yeah. just blurred out behind them.
Is it bokeh or bokeh?
I don't know.
Bokeh. Oh, I mean, I don't know. I've just learned about this.
Probably.
Because our friend Daniel's like super into it. So he's always like, look at the bokeh.
Yeah,
look
probably,
at the bokeh.
Who knows?
Sorry, I wasn't trying to
correct
you.
No, I really don't know.
That wasn't my
intent.
We'll
have to look it up.
I just thought maybe I'd be saying
Siri.
It wrong. Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Siri, is it bokeh?
Well, I didn't know what that was. And I was like,
no,
oh, it's
yeah,
like the
yeah.
blur behind,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's basically when you just isolate that from the background.
Yeah,
and that's
very cool.
It probably goes back to when I first started photography. I couldn't stand when people were in my images. I liked still life and I liked landscape. And so like if someone got in my photograph, I would be like, why are you
right.
there?
No!
Exactly.
Right.
So I liked the concept of taking like ordinary objects and making them look extraordinary or
yeah.
whatever you want to call it. So I really like when I first started shooting weddings, I was like assisting for other people. And for the longest time, it would be like, like it would hurt my feelings to be doing it. But then what's actually interesting is I learned that storytelling is a huge part of that, right? You're trying
yeah.
to tell a story with what you're doing. And that's what kind of made me realize, like, one, wedding photography can be super fun and super artistic. And then everything else that goes along with it is that you're not just photographing an item anymore. It's you're telling a story. You're demonstrating something with that. So that's why I could do wedding photography and enjoy it
right.
for so long is that I got out of that space where people were just like, ew. And it was like, what story are we trying to tell
right.
with these images? So
yeah.
That's cool.
It's you.
Ew. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Well, and a lot of it's probably because you really can't control what they're doing.
Yeah, you
sometimes,
really can.
Especially if you're doing a wedding. Like,
oh, yeah.
You want to capture a beautiful moment, but you might have one of these in the background.
You just made me the ew.
Well, you know what's funny is the
you're
first,
the ew, Gina.
Yeah,
you. I would for sure be the ew. I would, man.
There's literally a photo that I have. Do you remember the photo I showed you? It's from regionals, or maybe it was the somewhere. And I'm getting a photo with this person. He tagged me in this photo, and in the background is Gina.
No,
I
remember.
They were looking at the scoreboard or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the leaderboard.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, there was when I first came to photograph Brooke for
mm-hmm.
Perkia, we were out to lunch in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that.
We were just because you were drinking a coffee and you had like the rings on and
yep.
everything else like that. And I just remember there was a couple of two or three that I sent you that you were like, well, I look great, but look at Gina
yeah.
in the background.
That's a common.
Just,
it's a common issue.
Yeah,
it's a common problem.
It's
unfortunately.
Like, it's like your pause face is just kind of like
yeah. I never thought of myself as a mouth breather, but I'm realizing my mouth is hanging open all the time. Like, what the hell? But yeah, I'm working on that.
Do you consciously tell yourself to like?
Now I'm trying to because I've seen so many pictures. It's not like I've, you know, been around like in front of cameras and stuff as much as I have with her. And so all of a sudden I'm like, wow. What am I doing?
I mean,
or even just video. I'm like, what?
We were just at dinner for Daniel and Sam, and we were playing cards. We were playing a game after we had dinner at the bar next door, and like there's a rule. There's like one card you play and you like make a rule.
Yeah.
So like one of the rules was every time Gina had to drink,
you guys
had
to make a confused
we had to
face.
Make her confused face, which Gina's confused face is this.
It's like my mouth hanging open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like Daniel and Sam would just
like,
do this
like smelling shit.
Ooh.
It was like smelling shit. Like, ooh. Speaking of DJs walking in.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening to this episode with Brooke and Gina, Between the Reps. Mm-hmm. Make sure you rate, review, subscribe.
Five-star rating.
Where can we find you, Eric?
Imam Photo.
At Imam Photo.
Instagram.
On Instagram. And CrossFit Veer in Arizona, if you guys are ever there. And Mesa, also literally, you know, next to every other area.
It's always like a 10-minute drive.
If you're flying into Phoenix, go and check out CrossFit Veer. And we'll definitely have you on again when we have our new setup.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
Very cool.
On the road with Brooke and Gina.
On the road.
On the road.
On the road again.
I'm not gonna start singing.
We gotta cut it off right there. It's like where it starts to get weird. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys.
Yep.
We will talk to you next time.
See ya. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.